We'll desire that the Lord would bless us this evening together.
The subject tonight is that we would honor God in body.
I'd like to read a passage tonight that was part of the recent series of messages dealing with being firmly planted in the Lord, found in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As we've mentioned different times before, the Word of God has practical application in our lives. And I felt impressed to come back to this verse and consider some of the ways that this is manifested, that the Lord wants it to be manifested in our daily lives. Practical living, tangible things. What does this verse mean when we read that we would glorify God in our body? And I, as we were singing that song, I really appreciated that special tonight. There was a particular phrase that caught my attention, and it said, "May I introduce you to the Heavenly Father." May I introduce you to the Heavenly Father. And do you know tonight that the Lord would like us to live our lives so that we could introduce the Heavenly Father to those that we come in contact with in the world around us? Because there are many people that are hurting. They see the world all around them. They see the influence of the world all around them, everywhere they go. And the Lord would like to introduce Himself to people that have need of something more than what they have. And therefore, the Lord invites us and asks us to glorify Him in body and in spirit. This evening, we'll focus on the first part, glorifying in body, and maybe come back another time on what it looks like to glorify God in spirit, recognizing that glorifying God in body and in spirit are very, very close connected. It's hard to separate them, yet the Lord desires to be honored in our spirit and in our body. And there's a reason why Paul didn't just say that we should glorify God in spirit, but he said glorify Him in our body and in our spirit, which are God's, recognizing that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When considering how the Lord wants us to glorify Him in body, I start to realize that this covers a lot of ground. And Paul said in Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Did you catch that? "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." That covers a lot of ground. And he also said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink," now listen to this part, "or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And these verses challenge me because they get really close. It says, "Whatsoever you do, do it so that you can say holiness unto the Lord." My dad used to say that to us children, Many times before we'd go to school, he'd say, "Where are your signs?" Well, what that means was previously described was that it's like you put a big sign on the front of you that says, "I am a Christian." And then if you're wearing a sign that says, "I am a Christian," in real big block letters, then you might be a little bit more careful in how you act because you're wearing a sign that says, "I'm a Christian." The Lord said, and the Scripture says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God." So these verses speak to a lot of territory. This evening, I would like, by the help of the Lord, to just scratch the surface and consider some specific areas of conduct that the Lord would like us to glorify Him, understanding that we are His temple. And some of these things I'm going to list on the board, they're in no particular order. This is not a comprehensive list. I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly. Each one of these subjects could easily be a subject where you could have multiple studies on every one of these items. Tonight I'm not endeavoring to do that, but I would like to help paint the picture of how the Lord maybe wants us to think about glorifying Him in body. And if you would help me tonight, I would like some help with some scriptures, because I have a number of scriptures I'd like to be read. Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on them, but put them out there. I strongly believe, folks, that we should base our lives and our beliefs on the Word of God. And we should have Scripture to back up what it is we believe and that we say is from God. There needs to be Scripture that backs up that. Otherwise, we get into trouble really quickly. And so I have a desire to make sure that what we talk about isn't just my ideas of how to glorify God in our body, but that it's scripturally based. If somebody could get 1 Corinthians 9:25. Who has 1 Corinthians 9:25? All right. Proverbs 25 and 16. And 17 too. We'll do both of those verses. The first item that I'd like to think about is moderation. Moderation. For us to glorify God in our bodies, we're going to be people that are moderate, temperate, balanced, seeking to participate or partake in the right amount. Not too much, not too little, but just right. Moderate. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 9 and 25.
"And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible."
Paul's making the point there are those that strive for temporal crowns. You know, when they want to be the fastest runner in the world. And they are temperate in all things. They're careful. They're balanced. They get up early. They work late. But they need to get enough sleep. So it has to be balanced. They have to eat the right amount. They can't stop eating, but they can't eat too much. They need to train, but they can't train too much. They have to do it. They're temperate in all things that they might achieve a crown that's going to eventually pass away. But we are running for an eternal crown. How much more important is it for us to be temperate in all things? Okay? Proverbs 25, 16 and 17. All right, these scriptures also speak of moderation. Said, it's all right to eat honey, But eat just enough honey so that it suffices you, not three or four other people, lest you vomit it. Be moderate. There's nothing wrong with, no sin in it, unless you get to the point where we're not moderate, and then you take too much of it. That doesn't glorify God in our body. The next verse speaks also of moderation. The Lord wants us to visit. Go to our neighbor's house. Do that which is good. Show up. Be present. But don't stay too long. Don't overstay your welcome, lest they hate you. I also grew up, my dad used to tell us, drilled it into us over and over, it's way better to leave 30 minutes too early than 1 minute or 1 second too late. If you overstay your welcome, you cause a problem. Much better to leave when they still want you to stay longer. And I know it's different. It's hard to know exactly when that time is. Be moderate. Don't go overboard. Don't do too little. Don't do too much. And these scriptures have application for so many areas of our life, our hobbies. It's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to participate in things, but don't let it go to the extreme. The computer, we get on the computer. That's okay, it's a good tool. But don't let it just consume you to the point that it's not moderate anymore. Same with social media that's on the internet. It can consume and rule people's time, and it doesn't reflect well on God. If we are the temple of God, God wants us to glorify Him in body. All right? Somebody could get Colossians 3:23. Who has that one? Colossians 3:23. All right. Andrew's got it. Luke 16:11. All right. 16:11. Thank you. The next item are temporal affairs. The Lord wants us to glorify Him in our temporal affairs. Lord wants us to be responsible. He doesn't want us to be careless. He wants us to manage the assets that He has given to us in our care in a responsible manner. If we say, I'm a Christian, I represent Jesus Christ, but then I live a life where I'm careless, I don't manage what I have very well, I'm slothful, I can't be counted on, not very responsible, that doesn't honor God. In our bodies. He wants us to be diligent. Who had Colossians 3:23? Andrea?
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men.
And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Now, when I go to work, out on the job, I'm working for somebody else. And say, well, my boss is so-and-so. And yet, what this scripture is teaching us, that when we put our hand to do something, don't do a halfway job. Do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. Of course, we want to do things that the Lord would be pleased with, and things that are not displeasing to the Lord. But God doesn't want lazy people. God wants us to be industrious. He wants us to be people that aren't just trying to get by. You know, sometimes our effort can be such that we're just trying to get by. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I had a teacher that told me, she said, Mr. Smith, I'm disappointed in you. She said, it seems like you're trying to do just enough to get by. The Lord doesn't want us to do just enough to get by. We're representing Him. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And this scripture said, yet you may be working for someone else, but do it as unto the Lord. Luke 16 and 11. All right. If the Lord looks down upon us and He sees that we are not faithful in the temporal things of life. I don't know how to manage my home. I don't know how to manage my finances. I mismanage it. I'm late to work. I lose my job. I can't keep a job. I'm not responsible. People can't count on me. How possibly then can I be expected to be faithful, to be a steward of spiritual things? You see how they're connected? Have you ever met somebody that was the most responsible person in spiritual things and yet was the most irresponsible person in all things temporal? I haven't. I haven't met someone like that. It's a challenge. The Lord wants us to be diligent and responsible in our temporal affairs, good stewards with the money that He has given us. And just a quick comment on debt. As a temple of the Lord that is endeavoring to glorify Him in all that I do, and all of my temporal affairs, may God help us that we don't go out and in a rash manner and in a immoderate way overextend ourselves and get ourselves in debt over and over and over again, trying to live outside of the means that God has given to us to the point that we then can't even pay our debts. We become delinquent. We now have to rely on other people to pull us out because our eyes were bigger than our stomach. It's not a good reflection on men and women of God. The Lord wants us to manage our temporal affairs in a way that He can say, I am well pleased with how you are managing the things that I have put in your hand. The other one that is close coupled to this is time management. Time management. Do you know that the Lord, as Christians, He wants us to be deliberate about how we manage our time. There's only 24 hours in a day. All of us are going to have to sleep. Eventually, sleep a little bit. It's going to whittle away at that 24 hours. All of us make time to eat most of the time. We're going to have to go to work, and there's certain duties of life that are almost non-discretionary, if you will. You don't have a lot of choice in some instances. There's not a lot of time to do things that need to be done outside of those things. We have to manage our time in a way that the discretionary time that we have, in other words, I have an hour here and I get to decide what I'm going to do with it. I don't have to be at work. I don't have to be at school. I can decide, what am I going to do with this hour? It's discretionary. May God help us manage our time in a way that is pleasing to Him. Genesis 2 and 15. Can someone get that? Genesis 2, 15. All right, Sister Crystal. Somebody else, Proverbs 10 and 4. All right, Brother Brian, Proverbs 10, 4. 12 and 11. Proverbs 12 and 11. Okay, thank you. And one more, Proverbs 6 and 6. Proverbs 6, 6. Okay. All right, Genesis 2:15. We'll move through these quickly. All right, the Lord created a garden and He put man in it to do what? To dress it and to keep it, to manage it, to maintain it. Not just to be lazy, to be idle, to let it go to waste, to become overgrown, but there was purpose. God wants us to be a purposeful people who are diligent to manage the things that are given into our care. Proverbs 10 and 4. All right, if you want to become poor, just deal with the slack hand. If you're going to be lazy, you don't apply yourself, you want to depend on everybody else but yourself, you can end up not having anything. You can end up being poor, and this applies to more than just padding your bank account. You can be poor in your friendships because you don't go out of your way to go make friends. You can be poor in your relationship with God because you're spiritually lazy. You don't go out of your way to understand what the Word of God says and what He would like to say to you. God wants us to have purpose. He wants us to be active and alive. All right, Proverbs 12 and 11. All right, it goes along with the other one. He that tilleth his land shall have bread. But he that followeth vain persons, what did it say? Shall be void of understanding. The Lord has given all of us responsibility in some way or another. Let's till that land. Let's work it. Let's use it. Let's not bury our talent. We've all been given talents in different areas. Let's use them. That land is there. Let's till it. Okay, Proverbs 6 and 6.
Go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise.
All right. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The ant looks ahead. They're always working, aren't they? They always seem to be busy, and they're hauling things that are bigger than they are. They're putting food away. They're putting it in store for potentially when they don't have any. The Lord is pleased with us. We're the temple of God. He's dwelling within us. He wants us to glorify Him in our body and the use of our body. Let's look ahead and plan, predict, understand what might happen if I do this. What would the consequence be? And prepare for that. All right?
I want to do another one. Adornment.
Yes, the outside matters. Some people say, well, the outside doesn't matter. It's just the inside that matters. The outside often represents what is in the inside. And the outside is what people first see. If I'm looking for a house and I go by and it's in tatters, the grass is all overgrown, the paint's peeling on the house, it looks like it's in a state of disrepair, I'm not going to be interested in buying that house, because it probably represents what's on the inside of the house too. Somebody wasn't taking care of it. Somebody wasn't managing it in a way that I would want it to be managed. The outside does matter. Is it everything? No. The Lord does look on the inside. But there's also instruction for us regarding the outside, for both men and women. Let's read two verses, 1 Peter 3 and 3. Can somebody pick that up? 1 Peter 3 and 3. Somebody had it. Brother Shane, and we'll do 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. And then 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2 and 9. Okay. Brother Shane? Yes.
This adorning that is not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great Christ.
Okay, Brother Bob, 1 Timothy 2 and 9 and 10.
In like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, for which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
Okay, and both of these scriptures, the principles that are taught in these scriptures apply to the brothers and to the sisters. This isn't just to the sisters. This is to the brothers too. God wants us as men to adorn ourselves and to present ourselves to the world in a way that when the world looks at us, they are not distracted by the things that we are presenting, so that it draws their attention to the flesh, to the world, to the ways of the world, to the things that the world promotes, but that we present ourselves in a way that is becoming to godliness. That's what the Lord wants from all of us. It wouldn't seem consistent for us to teach the world about the scriptures that help us understand that God wants us to be of meek and quiet spirit and humility and putting God above all else and dying out to ourselves, and yet at the same time we present ourselves to the world in all the worldly apparel that speaks of our heart going out to the very things that we say the Lord doesn't want us to allow our heart to be tied to. And so the Lord wants us to be adorned and present ourselves in such a way that He can be glorified. The world makes a big issue out of dress. Sometimes people say, well, why does the church make such a big issue out of dress? And I would turn it around and say, the world is the one that makes such a big issue out of dress. The world makes such a big issue out of dress that those influences come in, and then people don't want to be talked to sometimes, I'm generalizing, about how they present themselves, because they want to do what they want to do because they want to fit in with the world, because the world puts such a focus on it. May God help us that we not lose sight of the fact that He desires us to glorify Him in how we present ourselves. And I just want to say to the sisters tonight, you have a ministry each day that I don't know what that is exactly like. And I am very cautious about deciding to tell you many specifics in your ministry as godly women that stand out every time you go out into the world, because I don't stand out like that. And I just want to say, may God bless you. May God help you and give you grace and strength. You have a special ministry in causing people's hearts to be drawn and their mind to be drawn to something that is very different from what they see everywhere else. And may the Lord help us men that we not think that we are exempt from this, but that we too are careful that how we present ourselves is also pleasing to God. And lastly, there's so many things we could talk about tonight. Our bodily members. The Lord wants us to glorify Him with the members that He has given to us. In Romans, the 6th chapter, we read this the other morning, 6 and 13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Well, God has given us hands and feet and eyes and ears and lips. What am I missing? These are members that He has given to us that He wants us to use to His glory. Our hands, use your hands for good things, for honest things. Don't use your hands to apply themselves to things that are dishonest, or we can become careless with our hands. God wants us to serve other people with our hands. Do it. Use your hands, your members, as instruments of righteousness to glorify God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our feet. Don't loiter when you need to make haste. Use your feet to get out of an area that you don't need to be in. You know, Proverbs talks about that. The man that was young on that dark night, void of understanding, and he let his feet take him where he didn't need to go. Sometimes we can find ourselves in situations where all of a sudden we realize, I don't need to be here. It's probably best for me not to be here. Sometimes we're in a place where we realize that it isn't our business to be there. It's somebody else's business to be there with whatever's going on. And the Lord wants us to be wise to know when it's time to back away and leave, because it's not our business. Other times, we find ourselves in places of temptation. The Lord wants us to use our feet to make haste to move when we don't need to loiter. And on the other hand, may God help us to use our feet to make haste to go to those areas and places where we can be of help when we see that somebody is in need of help. Our lips, may God help us speak the truth. The things that come out of our mouth, let it be pure. Behold, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is among our members such that it can defile a whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. I think that's in the 3rd chapter of James. The tongue might be a little member. Our lips might not be real large in comparison to the rest of our body, but they can have drastic influence both ways, positive and negative. May the Lord help us to use our lips in a way that would glorify Him. Let's focus on building people up, using our mouth, our lips, to support people, build them up, give people the benefit of the doubt with their lips versus casting a shadow or casting doubts or saying things that would minimize the character or motives of other people that we may not know really anything about it. We're just surmising. We're the body, the temple of Jesus Christ. And He wants us, we're the temple of Jesus Christ, and He wants us to glorify Him with our body and our eyes and our ears. God help us that the things that we look at with our eyes that He would be pleased with, that He wouldn't be displeased with. Sometimes things come before us and we see something and we recognize that isn't godly. That's not wholesome. That's not something that the Lord would say that that's holiness unto the Lord. So we turn our eyes away from that. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you read. It has an impact. We're the temple of God. Be careful what you listen to with your ears, that you have decision rights around. People say about music, and I like music to a point. People say, well, it doesn't have a hold on me. Music doesn't have a hold on me, but they can't let it go. It's got a hold on them somehow, because it's like constant. They can't hardly seem like function without it. I'm not saying music's bad. I'm just saying the Scripture teaches us that whatever we do, that we do it to the glory of God. That we would yield our members as instruments of righteousness. Well, this is kind of a very high level list. We could spend weeks on talking about different areas. Tonight we talked about moderation, being moderate, managing our temporal affairs, managing our time in a way that the Lord is pleased with, how we present ourselves to the world and glorifying God with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears and our mouth. It's not comprehensive, but it starts to bring home how that the decisions that we make in our lives, our daily conduct, have everything to do with whether or not we are glorifying God in our body and the use of our body. Brothers and sisters, tonight, we are privileged to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are privileged to be invited to be representatives of Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling. May God help us be enthused and encouraged and faithful to go out into the world in which we live and accurately represent Jesus Christ to the world in our body and in our spirit. May the Lord give us understanding in these things. Appreciate your help and your attention tonight. I want to be true. Amen.